give me one shot here on a blue chip stock, believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more.
Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA draft fans? Your boys are back, the Wolves of Ball Street, here with the final episode of the Draft Dak NBA Draft Pod for this draft season.
Damn.
Today's the day. It is officially NBA draft day. And we had to hit you with one final pod. Today, we are going to hit on the blue chips and the penny stocks. We're going to talk some top five guys, maybe some sleepers. My name is Corey Tulliba. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Albert Gim. And Albert, we have a special guest. He is the number one Knicks fan in the world. The host of the Through the Wire podcast on House of Highlights. We got Pee-wee the Plug, a.k.a. Mr. Know-It-All, Pierre Anderson. P, what is going on, bro?
I am extremely happy to be here because I know a lot of people probably tell y'all that, but Corey knows. I really watch all y'all shit. I watch Corey shit when he's by himself. I watch the – what's the name of the fucking – is it the – it's like a play on the NASDAQ. What is the
– the Draft Act. That
was genius. That is genius. I love that type of shit. So, yeah, I'm tuned in. I just watched y'all recently talk about somebody, and I was like, yes. Keon Johnson. Corey, when you interviewed us for Through the Wire, or Mag, before we left, I asked you your thoughts on Keon Johnson because I'm like, people are having him super high on their mocks and – no disrespect to the kid, but I just didn't see it. So when I saw you guys talk about it, I was like, yes.
And you know what's funny? Like that was a few months ago.
Yeah,
that was early.
That's the lost tapes. That's the lost Through the Wire interview.
I might
post it on my YouTube eventually. Now that the magazine's been out for a little bit, but we were having a conversation like, you know, these guys that are like 6'4", 6'5", like good defenders with a questionable jumper. It's like those guys are fun to root for and they got high upside. But like how many of those type of players really realize it, especially when they're so raw? So, we've been on that Keon Johnson kind of sliding down the draft train for a while.
Yeah.
But we'll see. All it takes is one team to fall in love with a kid and he could still be going lotto. So can't always trust the mocks. Can't trust our mocks. Can't trust ESPN's mocks.
Yeah.
All it takes is one team, right? All right. I'm excited to do this. Pierre is one of the realest dudes on the internet. He really is a supportive guy, and I appreciate that. So let's get started. We're going to hit the blue chips first. So these are our top five guys, maybe top six, maybe top seven. Who knows? It depends. Everybody's got different blue chippers. These are the guys that have the high upside, maybe a little bit of a low floor. These are the guys you can put your investments into and not necessarily worry about busting out. Let's start with the probable number one pick, Cade Cunningham. P, is Cade a no-brainer, or are there actually legit concerns for taking him over Green or Mobley?
To me, he's the no-brainer, number one. He gets me excited. Just because it's very rare for a guy to come in and not have that many holes. And I think, you know, sometimes guys like us, not us directly, but just guys that do what we do, we may try to overanalyze it and just because it's just like, man, how crazy is it that a guy can come into the league with like limited holes or no holes at all? And we're not used to that, so we try to overlook or overanalyze. And I feel like a lot of guys are doing that, but Cade, he answered a lot of questions in that one season. He says it was so much said about him, you know, indirectly with like, I'm a type of guy where I look into things. Like, I look into a lot of things. So first and foremost, for you to be going to Oklahoma State was a big thing for me because that was like a writing on the wall where so many guys are going to Duke, Kentucky, they're teaming up. And I'm a college basketball guy, but before he played for Oklahoma State, I couldn't name you one player on their roster. And for him to go there, have the season he had, the way he scored the ball with limited spacing and weapons around him, and he showed that he could be like a go-to guy in a tough conference when he played against, you know, other NBA caliber talent like the Baylors of the world.
Yep.
And to be a clutch scorer, one of the top clutch scorers. 40% from three. You know, he was posting up on a low block, pick and roll, off the dribble, off the catch. I mean, no brainer for me. No brainer for me. And it's no discredit to Evan Mobley or Jalen Green, but I just think that when you get a guy like Cade Cunningham, you don't second guess it, man. You don't second guess. I can barely come up with a comparison for the guy because he's so unique. You know what I mean? Like, I saw you guys talk about him, and I heard Jason Tatum, and I'm like, okay, I love that one. I see the Jason Tatum too. But then it's like he also is this gifted playmaker that we all know he is, and that's not Jason Tatum's game. But then it's like the Grant Hill, I hear. Like my guy Rashad Phillips uses the Grant Hill, but Grant Hill has never shot the ball how it looks like Cade will shoot it. You know, so it's like when you get a guy like that, man, I don't think you second guess it. He's number one to me.
He's special, man. And shout out to Yoda. Like the big question coming in was the jumper. You know, everybody was like, is the jumper going to translate? And then it did. And it's like, all right, so we shouldn't even have to overthink this. Like this is the guy. He's been the guy for a minute. And like you said, that team at Oklahoma State was incredibly mediocre. You know, and the only other guy I was like really, really familiar with, and I can't say his name, was it like Licky or like he played on the U19 team with Cade and Halliburton and Suggs and Mobley and all them. And I don't really like his game. Like, I don't think he's an NBA prospect. You know, if anything, I thought he shot a little bit too much. Like, I just want get the ball back to Cade.
Yeah.
But what do you make about his playmaking? Because I have no concerns, right? And there's so much out there for people that are trying to make – I feel like they're trying to force an argument that Cade may not be the number one guy, and they're using the high turnover rate, the 3.5 assists, 4 turnovers. What do you make of that? Like, do you think he's a better playmaker than he got the chance to show in college?
For sure. I can damn near guarantee that one. The turnover thing for me – people can call me crazy, but when it's this early, I really don't care unless it's like 5 or 7. You know what I mean? If then it's just like, okay, but we saw LaMelo. Before the NBA, was one of the most careless people that I have ever saw with a basketball.
Right.
But it just seemed like whenever LaMelo was in a confined restriction, he played to a level, you know, but when you gave him a ball and he, you know, could just do whatever, he was turnover heavy. But I don't think guys are going to be like that when they come into the NBA. I don't know if people don't understand, but like the NBA is the NBA. You're not going to come in and just throw the ball off the wall and, you know, it's going to be okay. But I think you got one of the best videos showing it. When he was on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
That's wild. The left-hand pass out of the pick and roll. Those plays for me are what's telling. The statistical things are neither here nor there. In college basketball, you know, I think college basketball can sometimes limit guys. Some guys are better at things at the pro level than the NBA because it's just the way that the game is. Like Michael Porter Jr., for example, I don't feel like at Missouri, partly due to injury, but even when he did play, he was never going to really play his best basketball there because college wouldn't let a guy like him do what he has to do. So. Mm-hmm. I think Cade could really play make. And the best thing about him is, hypothetically speaking, the playmaking isn't there. What did he do? You just make it. He'll be another option. So, you know.
Yeah, I feel you, Albert. Would you refer to you thought that there was a little bit of genius to the turnovers?
Did I say that? Dude,
yeah, because you were like, I think your point was that Cade was making plays that maybe the guys on his team didn't necessarily see, right?
That's right.
So there was a little. He was trying to do NBA things with college players. And
I feel like that's something. Point. Yeah, I think that's something we see all the time. Like even for us, I mean, not me. I'm not great at ball, but like if you're playing in the gym and you're playing with guys that are not on your level, you're gonna see and do things that they won't be able to react to. And I think that's something that we saw with Cade. And a good point that you just brought up. Sorry, I know we just met, so for me to just call you P feels rude. So
only P.
No, but P, the point that you made I thought was spot on about LaMelo. Like this was just a year ago, and I feel like Corey, you and I, even a year ago when we talked about LaMelo, we had some concerns about the turnovers, right? And like how, you know, some of the stuff in Where was he playing? Australia, right? Some of that stuff was reckless and kind of crazy. And then we see him play on an NBA court and it looks and feels different. And I feel Cade is the same way. And another point that you made, P, that I really agree with, I think a lot of times when we're talking about prospects and we rate one guy really, really high, people take that and turn it into as if we're trying to hate on the other players, right? So you mentioned that's not us hating on Evan Mobley or Jalen Green or any Jalen Suggs. It's just that this is how we rate Cade, and Cade is freaking awesome, but that doesn't mean that we hate Evan Mobley or we're putting him down or saying he's like a lesser prospect. That just speaks to something that, Corey, you and I have been talking about all draft season long. This is a really, really strong draft. Like, it's a ridiculous high draft. So, P, I wanted to ask you how you felt about the strength of this draft compared to other drafts we've had in recent years. Because Corey and I talk about it all the time. The depth and the talent and like, you know, we're talking about blue chips and whatever. It's a ridiculously, ridiculously strong draft.
Yeah, this is... I'm a Knicks fan, obviously, number one Knicks fan in the world. For us to have 19 and 21, it gets me excited because as a Knicks fan, we don't really do good at the beginning. We get the Frank Ntilikinas, the Kevin Knoxes, but at the back half, we get Emmanuel Quickleys, Mitchell Robinsons. We even got Alonzo Trier. No, I think we signed Trier. I think he went undrafted. But we do good in the back half of the draft. So when I see 19 and 21 and I look at a draft like this, and I know we'll get the sleepers or whatever, but I'm seeing, like, I listened to a mock draft for Kevin O'Connor. I like Kevin O'Connor stuff. Shout out to KOC. And I trust his insight, you know. So he was doing a mock with his guys, and this was, like, a couple days ago. And they had Trey Murphy going to the Nets. So it's like if a guy like Trey Murphy, which I don't think he'll go to the Nets, but if a guy like Trey Murphy is going that low in some people's mocks, of a caliber like Kevin O'Connor, that means that this draft class is crazy. Trey Mann is bouncing everywhere throughout this draft class because it's just so deep and it's so strong. And I'm a believer that majority of the NBA is role players. I think it's a very tiny amount of guys that you are building around legitimately. And then the rest are like a number two, number three, but majority is role players. And I think this class has a lot of guys that will be role players. And when I look at certain teams like the Hawks and how they built around Trey and what the Mavericks want to do around Luka and the Pelicans around Zion, I think this is the type of class that once we get past the blue chips that we're talking about, you can get a lot of guys that you can put around. Like the Kings. I'm excited for the Kings. I cannot wait to see what the Kings do at 9 because after last year's draft to put a talent like Halliburton around Fox, I would love to see them continue to add. And I think this class will give them some options. So, yeah, I think this class is extremely deep. And I think this is going to be one of the low-key best classes. I know we say that kind of every year when we get excited, but I really have faith in this class, man. It's going to be good.
It's loaded. It's loaded. And let's talk about another guy who is adding to that top level talent. I want to ask you, where is Mobley on your board, P?
Mobley would be number two. He would be number two.
All right. All right. I like it. Yeah. I think we did a mock draft that came out on Wednesday, and I actually had him going to Houston at two because I felt like there was a little bit of smoke coming out from all the Jalen Green stuff. And it feels like it's a little too obvious that they're going to take him. I know Houston fans are like, no, we didn't even, he refused to work out. But when the talent is this high, you like, if just because he didn't work out, like you saw the tape, they'll take him if they really believe in his talent, right? Is Evan Mobley an actual unicorn level prospect?
It depends on what, yeah, but he would be a newer unicorn.
Okay.
Because when, unicorn for so long has been like Porzingis. It started with Porzingis. Yep. So they shoot the three crazy and they block shots. Evan Mobley, as of right now, probably won't come in out of the gate just lighting you up from three, but he can shoot the three. That's all. Like all I want for guys is to be respectable. But the passing, the defense, and when I say defense, I'm not even talking about rim protection because rim protection is, and I don't want to sound foolish, but it's getting a little overrated. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's the rim protection and the ability to slide your feet and switch on a pick and roll, which is what Evan Mobley can do. And I just like, I like his attitude. Like, for a guy to be who Evan Mobley was at USC, he kind of just fit in. He never tried to really do too much, which some people call it a knock. They would like to see him insert himself more and be aggressive. But I think there is value in you know self-reflection and self-identity, and he can just go in and do what he does. Now, yeah, if you are the Rockets, do you want to take a guy who may not understand that he is the face of the franchise and is going to be a bit of block? Yeah, that could be an argument. But for me, I would take him. I don't think he's going to go to Houston, though. I don't think they will take him. I think they will get Green. I would take him. Mm-hmm. Something is – and it's not even a smokescreen or him not working out. It just never felt like they wanted to go that route. I think, you know, Houston strikes me as a place that wants to, you know, try to liven it back up and get Jalen Green. He's going to be the guy that could potentially be a rookie that could get 30 and ignite the fan bases. We got this scoring guy. He'll be easier to sell than a Mobley. Big men are hard to sell when you're starting off, and you know Anthony Davis didn't look like Anthony Davis from day one. It's hard to sell. It's a long run. You know, it's like an investment in stocks. You don't see the return right away. But I like Evan Mobley. He is a unicorn, a guy that's that tall, can move the way that he moves, and he's a kid. I think people forget that. Like, he's a kid. We haven't seen anything from him yet, in my opinion. So I'm gonna say he's a unicorn, man.
Yeah, he's got all of the capabilities to do it because he can do a little bit of everything. And you know what? I actually don't want him shooting a ton of threes because I think, like, offensively, when he's in the little mid-post area, 15 feet,
yeah,
he could. That's where I think, like, he's really comfortable shooting that jumper. Mm-hmm. And if you got to guard him out there, that's where I think the Chris Bosh comps come in, because he gives you one pump fake. And he's got 1-2 steps with those long strides, and he's at the rim.
Yeah.
And that's where I think he's really tough, because when he's, especially the NBA, the line's a little bit further out. Like, I think his ball handling is excellent for a big man, but he doesn't have that, like, crazy handle where he's going to break you down with combo moves.
Yeah.
His thing is, like, he's got the athletic abilities to just go around you in two steps and get to the rim. And the further he comes out, I feel like it makes him less dangerous off the bounce, whereas I think he's real tough to stop the closer he gets to the hoop, because he's got such good touch. But that passing is something you don't really see. And he could hit every spot on the floor, and he knows where his guys are going to be. The gap with 2 and 3, I think even if you have Green above him, it's not a crazy gap. It's those guys are right there. And he is a little boring, I guess, if you're trying to reignite the fan base, right? He's not like Scottie Barnes, like, he's screaming after he dunks. Evan Mobley doesn't really have any like crazy swag to him. He just goes about his business. And there's something that, like, if you're a coach, you're probably like, good, like, dunk the ball, get back on D. Mm-hmm. And then the defensive versatility. I mean, you could put him in any coverage. Like, if you're in a drop coverage and he's at the free throw line, he could probably still contest you at the 3-point line with that crazy wingspan, right?
That's what I like that type of stuff more than just like he can block shots.
It's the nuance. It's the nuance of hoops and the IQ. How do you think he fits in the front court with Jared Allen if he goes 3 to Cleveland?
I'm different. Like, I think it's worth a try because I don't think the Cavs will be shit anyway. So yeah, it's worth a try. I think it could work because, like you said, it's that mid post. And again, if it doesn't work, what did he do? It isn't like they missed out on anything, or like they had some type of playoff run in them. But I think it's worth exploring. And I think that's where the NBA is kind of going, of like the versatility of having, you know, the looks to play two bigs, depending on who you match up with. Jared Allen, go sit down. Evan Mobley is number five throughout stretches of the game. Right. I like it. And, you know, from day one, I don't know how I feel about putting that pressure on Evan Mobley of being my center. That's my, you know, I have like worries and concerns with every type of mold. The unicorn mold is where you draft these guys in the future down the line, they're supposed to play the five, but they never, ever become the five. Like Jaren Jackson, will he ever be a five? Marvin Bagley, will he ever be a five? Mm-hmm. Jaren Jackson can get away with it because he stretches the floor, but like a Marvin Bagley, if he can play the five, I think a lot unlocks. But it's like, it doesn't look like he can play the five. He doesn't shoot it as good as you would want for a four. And now he becomes a tweener, which is scary. Right. So
I think the bigger question with Marvin Bagley is not will he be a five, but will he be in the league pretty soon, right? I think that seems to be the bigger question. But really quickly, P, I did want to say I liked your point on Mobley. I think the fit with Jared Allen can work. And the truth of the matter is, even if, as you mentioned, even if the fit doesn't work, Jared Allen is such an asset that you could flip that into something else later on if it really does fail. Another interesting thing with that, and you know, as a fellow Knicks fan, I did want to ask your thoughts on this, because there have been a lot of rumors, right? There's been some rumblings about the Knicks being interested in the young bull, you know, in Colin Sexton. So wanted to get some of your thoughts on that, because I think it'll be interesting to see what that market looks like, to see how much Cleveland is actually looking for in terms of what they want from the Knicks. But also, straight up for you, like, would you even be interested in that?
I'll be interested in whatever the front office does, because they've earned that respect from me.
That's such a good answer.
But I will not lie to you, I am not a big Colin Sexton guy. I think he could add some value to Knicks. We are one of the one teams that could use his services. But I'm not big on the miniature shooting guard who doesn't play make at all. I'm just not a fan of that mold at all. I have worries with Jalen Green. Like, I think Jalen Green is a nice prospect.
Wow.
And he obviously has potential. But, man, I cannot get – he has so many similarities to, like, Malik Monk that it scares the shit out of me to take him at two or three or whatever. But Colin Sexton, it, like you said, it would be just what they want. It also is terrifying that you would have to pay him soon. And I don't know what that looks like. But, I mean, if they wanted 21 Knox and a second round, sure, let's take it.
Jesus.
But if they wanted to really try to get – I saw mock trades where they get 19 and 21. And I'm like, no. I'd rather take Chris Duarte than give up both picks. You know, But yeah, Colin Sexton is good. I don't know how good he is. And I try to take away the fact that I'm just not a fan of that mold. I don't want to, you know, let my what I like get in the way, you know, what he really is. But yeah, I mean, in certain ways it could work. But like you said, I think it just comes down to what exactly they would want from the Knicks. I'm not against it. But I'm curious to see what else we could do. We have so many different options, and that's what I love. Just as a basketball fan, is I love to see franchises have options and a lot of different doors, because the Lonzo's thing is out there. I'm a big Lonzo guy. I like Lonzo. We do have 19 and 21 in this loaded draft that we were talking about. You know, I just saw that we have interest in DeMar DeRozan. Will Bradley Beal request a trade? The Damian
Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie. It's so many options that Knicks could go for. I would just want them to take their time. And I guess if last resort, last option is Colin Sexton, then sure. Because he can have some 40-point games in the Garden, and it would be exciting for sure. I won't deny that.
Garden be rocking with Sexton. Yes, He's got the New York mentality. Let's go back to Jalen Green, because you mentioned that you might even be afraid to take him at three.
Yeah. Like, I watch his tape, and there's exciting things to see. And then I also watch, and I'm like, damn, that reminds me so much of Malik Monk. Or, you know, he comes from that mold and that cloth of, like, it works super great, where it's like James Harden, Bradley Beal, or you get, like, Malik Monk, Deion Waiters. And then I don't want to be too hard on him. He could be in the middle of that and be an all-star level. But, like, I see, like, Zach LaVine comparisons, and I see why people say that. But as a guy who's loved Zach LaVine, has watched Zach LaVine since UCLA, Zach LaVine may be getting a little discredited with Jalen Green comps. Like, Zach LaVine, I know a lot of people aren't watching Bull games and didn't watch a lot of Wolf games. And Zach LaVine hasn't played playoff basketball ever in his career for people to really see him on that stage. But Zach LaVine has some shit to his game. He has an incredible first step. His separation moves don't really bother the shot. He always is on balance for a shot. Now I think he looks bigger. I'm not gonna lie. Jalen Green, 6'6", 6'5". He looks a little smaller to me when I see him against other taller players on the floor. But I'll let them say he's 6'6". But I'm not gonna lie. Like, the guy has game for sure. The kid has game. I'm no denying that. But there are concerns and worries for me because I've seen this type of player not work. And it is either extremely hit or extremely miss. When's the last time a player in his mold was like a middle tier? Like, you either get James Harden, Bradley Beal, or Malik Monk, Deion Waiters, Austin Rivers. You know, Zach LaVine is an all. It's, I don't remember like a tier. Maybe OJ Mayo.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, he does. He looks like he's like 6'3", 6'4", more than he looks like he's 6'5", 6'6". But you know, we didn't do the through the wire combine measurements on Jalen Green. So I, you know, like we said, we'll trust it. Yeah, I mean, the thing about Zach LaVine. And this is the thing that you like about Jalen Green, too, is Zach LaVine has a legendary work ethic. Like, he has that Mamba mentality. He's gotten better every single year. And yeah, it hasn't led to winning yet, but it's not on him as to why it hasn't led to winning. It's because he's been in bad situations. It's hard to win when you're not in good situations without talent around you. And when he actually had some talent around him in, like, Minnesota, he was young. Mm-hmm. And young players don't win. But you see, he's helping, like, you know, I know the USA team is not – been right. The best, but yet, you know, he's played well with USA, so he fits in with those guys. And we saw with Devin Booker, who everybody said career loser, and then goes to the playoffs for the first time. And it started in the bubble when he went 8-0, goes to the playoffs, makes the finals, his first playoff run, showed his ass, like you like to refer to, right?
Yes, yes.
So, but I do think, yeah, Jalen, Malik Monk's interesting because Malik Monk's got athleticism that is pretty underrated. That dude got bounced. I thought he was as good of a lock to be a good NBA player. And this year he was a good NBA player, but I thought he was going to be really good. He looked good at Kentucky. Jalen Green, though, he says that if he went to college, like if he went to Duke or whatnot, that he thinks he'd have been the number one pick. Is he a guy that I feel like his game is much more suited for the NBA than college basketball?
I agree. Like, that's, yeah, we just talked about, like, you know, college and everything. First and foremost, I love the confidence. Brian Shaw is, you know, what you were referring to. Like, he did say he had the work ethic, the Kobe thing. I'll take Brian Shaw's word. He had no reason why about that. But Kay Cunningham was going to be the number one pick, Jalen Green. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't want to say that that the G League hurt him. A lot of people have been asking this question. I think the G League is a little overrated, but I do think that it may have been better for his game to show versus college. But I think that stage that college presents is much better. And me, I think G League is overrated because people are like, man, they're playing against NBA players and grown men and blah, blah, blah. Bro. Amir Johnson is in a G League for a reason. Amir Johnson. But, like, seeing Kuminga and Jalen Green on a court with Jared Jack and Amir Johnson and these level players, it isn't the same as if they were playing against Zach LaVine and Patrick Williams. So if that's the case, I would much rather see him play against his peers that are about to go to the NBA with them, which is what Kay did. Kay got to play against a Davion Mitchell, a Jared Butler. You know what I mean? Like, these are other NBA players that you're going against. They're just not there yet. But these guys are all going to the same draft class, you know? So I think the G League is a little overrated in that aspect. But I do agree with you that his game may have been better suited for the G League versus college. And where was he going to go? Memphis?
There was the Memphis buzz, right?
Yeah. So I don't really even know if, like, yeah, good decision to go G League, get you some money, get coached by Brian Shaw. But I do think the G League is overrated as far as playing against grown men.
I don't think I've actually heard that argument yet. Like, because most of the people you hear and or talk about the G League, they say exactly what you just said. Right. Oh, you're playing against older guys, higher competition. It's good for you to play against a higher level of competition. But I think the point that you made is actually really important. I think the NCAA tournament is a platform and a stage unlike anything other. Like when we say March Madness, we know what that means, and that means something, right? So I think that's a really, really good point. I actually never thought of it in that way. And I did want to say really quickly, the Zach LaVine comp that you made, I think, or that you talked about it, I think is interesting, because the one thing that I was thinking about was Zach LaVine, when he came into the league, was so thin. Like, he was real thin. And that was like one of his big, you know, like people were like, oh, we don't know if he's ever going to develop. But then you watch Zach LaVine and he did develop his body. I think he bulked up a good amount. Not to say he looks like, what's that dude from Tennessee, Yves Pons or whatever? He doesn't look like him, right? But Zach LaVine has put on mass, he's put on muscle, and he's, you know, it's helped his game. And that's kind of how I feel about Jalen Green. I know right now Jalen Green, you look at him and like, he's got some like fit, like really small shoulders, right? He's got a slight frame, but I feel like a Zach LaVine, he can put on enough mass where he's definitely going to be able to adapt to the game. And so that's why, like, I feel like I hear you in the fact that you feel like we're underrating Zach LaVine, but maybe it's we're rating Zach LaVine really high and we believe that Jalen Green can get to that level. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's more where that's coming from. And yeah, man, Jalen Green, I know Corey and I, we have him too on our board, and it's because like the shot making stuff is serious.
It is.
Like, he's a true bucket. And even the defensive, like, Corey, I think your video on Jalen Green was one of the best videos you made, because and it's weird to like plug my partner's work, but I'm gonna do it because that's what we do here, you know? And exactly. Like, honestly, not a lot of people talk about Jalen Green's defense. Like, yeah, he's what, 18, 19 years old. He's going to have his lapses. But when he was engaged and he was able to show like his defensive chops, that stuff was really, really good. So did want to throw that in there. And I think, you know, actually, P, I wanted to ask you, we talked about this yesterday with Tyler with backcourt violation. And it feels like Jalen Suggs has had a weird pre-draft process, right? Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga. And like, it feels like he's clearly a tier below Mobley, Green, and Cade Cunningham. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that because, you know, Suggs, unlike a Jalen Green, played in the NCAA tournament. He had a great run. He had a game-winning shot in the Final Four. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that because he's exactly the opposite of what you just talked about with Jalen Green, where he had the platform. He was on the back pages of the Daily News and the New York Post with that shot that he hit, and people were talking about that. And then yet now we're getting closer to the draft, and all the hype is going back to the other guys. So just wanted to get your thoughts on Suggs and, you know, how he's handle that pre-draft process and your thoughts on him as just as a prospect overall.
If I was Suggs' older brother, his dad and uncle, if I represented him for management, I would be so happy that they're getting attention, because all of the teams that are in that echelon, I don't want him to go to. The big thing about success in NBA is, like, I've watched the draft my entire life since I was like six. Like, this is just, it's my thing. My dad has always been like that. And I would, before the internet, I'm going to make a sound old. There wasn't like a Twitter where Woj just, or Shams is tweeting out every pick, or you could just pull it out on your phone. I had to write down every pick for me to remember, because it was going to take a day or two for it to come out in the newspaper. So but since I've gotten this platform with Through the Wire, I try to make sure I'm doing all of my homework, because there's going to be people that listen to me and rely on my opinion. But what I've known is that, like, diving in, almost all of these guys in these draft classes can hoop. But a lot of the shit is about where you go. You know what I mean? That it's kind of out of your hands. If you go to the wrong spot, you know, it doesn't mean you can't hoop. That's why a lot of guys change the scenery. It's like, oh, I'll trade for Jared Culver. Jared Culver, he's not succeeding. Let's change the scenery and see how he can do. Maybe it won't work. But, you know, just it's always that type of thing where – but Jalen Suggs is a guy we saw from Gonzaga, and I think it could translate to the NBA. He can be as good as the people around him. I don't want to say that he is only as good as the people around him. But, yeah, I don't want him to go to the Pistons, the Rockets, or the Cavs. I want him to go to the Raptors. Like, I want him to play with Pascal, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, Gary Trent from day one, versus going to the Cavs, and it's him, Garland, and Sexton, and, you know, it's a mess. So I think Jalen Suggs versus Jalen Green is a thing of, like, what we talked about with Cade of going to Oklahoma State. the Jalen Suggs thing is like now when you're on this platform and you get all of this hype, it's just more that they can pick apart from you. And that's one of the things is he played for a team that was kind of stacked. So, you know, even in his success, it's kind of like, oh, but he played with Corey Kispert. Oh, but Drew Timmy is, you know, going to be a legendary college player. You know, oh, it was one of the greatest teams we ever seen. I don't know if Drew Timmy is going to be a legendary NBA player, but it seems like he'll be known and loved in college basketball. So it was a gift and a curse for him. You know, he did like he was that shot, man. There was people talking about he's the number one pick after that shot. So he benefited from it. But again, he went to like, you know, the stack team. But I think that's self identity of knowing, hey, you know, he's a quarterback. Perfect example. He's a quarterback, literally. So quarterbacks are always going to want weapons. You know what I mean? Like Tom Brady didn't go to the Bucks without getting Gronk first. He knew that they had Mike Evans already. Mm-hmm. He brought Antonio Brown. You know, I need my weapon. So I think Jalen Suggs is that way. Green is also an upside guy. Like, yeah. I don't think Jalen Suggs is too much of an upside. Obviously, he's young, so there's potential. But I think, like you said, you can add muscle and frame to Jalen Green. The right. shot making is already there as a 19-year-old. I can only guess that it'll expand.
Right.
So it's when I see Jalen Green, it's the skill that he shows now, but it's also extreme upside. Suggs obviously has potential and upside, but like I think we've kind of seen what we're always going to get from him. I don't think he's going to be like somebody asked me on my YouTube channel, did I think Jalen Suggs would be a superstar? I don't think he'll be a superstar. When I think of superstar point guards, I'm thinking Damian Lillard, Steph Curry. Kyrie Irving. I don't think he'll be there, but I think he could be right below like Kemba Walker level. Not same type of play style, but as far as recognition and success, like he'll make some all-star teams and he'll have success. And if he's around the right talent, he'll win.
The guy he's going to replace in Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry, no. Exactly.
Yeah, that level.
I think he could have a better career than Kyle Lowry. Okay. Right. And the one thing about Jalen Green with the Zach LaVine thing that I will say is, Jalen Green will come in as a shooting guard. Zach LaVine, they had this idea if he was going to be like Westbrook 2.0 out of UCLA, and the Timberwolves tried him at point guard for some years. And he really didn't pop until they said, okay, this guy is a scoring shooting guard. Jalen Green coming in, I hope nobody experiments with him at the one. Let him be a two and get his shit off, and I think he'll have success early.
Yeah. Suggs is – he's been underrated because he's been out of the picture. And now I think, where was it? Maybe Wasserman's latest mock draft. He has Suggs going 5 to Orlando now. And I don't know if that's intel. And because there's been, and we'll talk, let's switch it over to this guy. The Scotty Barnes train has been chugging at full speed in this draft process. It has not slowed down one bit. You know, Scotty Barnes went from a guy who was like outside looking in, maybe 6, 7, even 8. And now, there's a lot of hype going that Toronto might take him at 4 or that somebody's going to trade up so they can get him at 4. And he's been at 4 on a lot of the big networks and their personal boards and whatnot. Give me your feelings on Scotty Barnes.
I like Scotty Barnes. I can see the hype train going up because a guy that I do some stuff with on Friday, we do like lives or the spaces on Twitter. He is obsessed with Scotty Barnes. He loves him. He was telling me he would take him at 2 if he was drafting. Yeah, he loves him like that. I like Scotty Barnes too. When I hoop, not that I'm an NBA prospect, but I'm 6'4". So when I walk into a gym, I'm usually bigger than a lot of people, but I handle the ball. I play make. My jump shot isn't as effed up as his, but you know, so I like big play. Like my favorite player of all time is Penny Hardaway. I love big playmakers and big point guards. So I love that about him. I like the defensive tenacity. I like the energy, the screaming that you mentioned earlier. And I wonder if his hype is in correlation with the success of Giannis Antetokounmpo, because Giannis and him. Now, I don't want to compare him to Giannis, but they have some similarities. He moves a lot around the court like Giannis when he has the ball. He has a better feel for the game, I would say, than Giannis, because Giannis is obviously a guy who picked up basketball later in his life. You can tell Scottie Barnes has played probably all of his life. At four is interesting, man. At four is interesting. My favorite fit for Scottie Barnes is the Cavaliers. I wanted the Cavs to trade three to the Magic for 5 and 8 and hope and pray that Scottie Barnes would be there at five. But what do y'all think? If y'all are the Raptors and Cade, Mobley, Green are all off in any order that you want,
right,
and you here you are at four, and you have Suggs, Scottie Barnes, and Kuminga. I had a Raptor fan DM me yesterday and say, hey, Pete, why would we take Suggs when we have Fred VanVleet? We could get this, we could get Kuminga, and he could be like, you know, Kawhi. You see, the offense catches up, you know. So, who would y'all take?
Well, you know, it's funny that you brought up the Giannis stuff, because that's been something that I've heard a little bit too, and I think it's a big reason that he's been moving up boards, because Giannis just won the chip. But my thing is, the big difference, like, Giannis is maybe one of the all-time great athletes the sport of basketball has ever seen. And he's also 7 feet tall doing this.
Yeah.
You know, Scottie's 6'8". Yeah. He's got great measurements and everything. But Scottie Barnes is not, like, this elite athlete.
Right.
He moves. He's a smooth operator. Like, he moves really well at his size, offensively and defensively. He moves really well. But he doesn't have, like, pop. You know, he doesn't have that next level burst. He doesn't have that vertical pop. Like, he needs a head of steam. Yeah.
Not to cut you off, but the person who told me this a very long time ago was my dad. My dad is an old school guy. He's funny, because I have a little brother who does basketball, and he's one of the top players in the city or whatever. So my dad tries to encourage players because I have a little brother. Or whatever, and he doesn't, you know. But my dad is such an old school guy that every time I talk to him about guys and prospects, he just sounds like he doesn't like anybody. Oh, y'all love this Cade Cunningham guy. Like, he isn't like that. Back in my day, Jordan, you could come out like just crazy. But he was like, yeah, Scottie Barnes. Everybody likes Scottie Barnes. The guy's not that good of an athlete. Like, I don't see everybody talks about athleticism. He's not. He dunks because he's big, but he's not jumping out of the gym. So it's funny to hear you say that now. But yeah, I mean, for sure, Scottie Barnes. That is a big thing. Is that he's not 7 foot like Giannis. Mm-hmm. Giannis is the Greek freak of nature, but. I guess I do see some similarities on how they move and operate with the ball. I don't know, man. It's the not having jump shot type thing, you know, it always scares us.
Yep.
You know, the Ben Simmons type thing. Mm-hmm. And like you said, even with similarities to Giannis, he could be ideal to Giannis. That doesn't mean he's gonna come in and be as dominant as Giannis. So that's interesting, but I agree. He's definitely not Giannis. But are you taking him at four, or are you taking Suggs?
No, I would take Suggs, because let me tell you about some of the other concerns I have with Scottie. And I like Scottie a lot. I think Scottie's going to be one of the elite role players in the league. And you mentioned, like, most of the NBA is role players, and I think Scottie knows that he is going to be an elite role player. I think he knows he's going to be, you know, a Draymond Green on a winning team. He's not unaware of that fact. And I forgot who, I don't even know who said it, and I'm not going to, you know, blast them for saying it, but somebody said Scottie Barnes is definitely going to be better than Draymond Green. And I was like, whoa, wait, can we slow down? And it was somebody, I remember who said it now, it was a big time hoops guy that like you would expect a little bit more nuance. I was like, definitely? I'm like, Draymond is one of the best defenders of all time. He was a part of multiple championship teams. He's a player.
Right.
So I was like, all right, let's slow down. But let me tell you some other concerns, because I'm not even all that concerned about his jumper, because unlike Ben Simmons, he's willing to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it looks good. And I'm a big eye test guy. So like, with his work ethic, I think eventually he'll be able to knock it down enough that he's a threat. But some of the other concerns I have for him that I think I haven't really heard people mention. My guy Scottie Barnes doesn't block shots, and he doesn't rebound.
Right.
And to me, like, when you're talking five-position defender, I want a guy who's going to be able to at least protect the rim a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that because sometimes he'll wall up, but a lot of times he just doesn't go and contest the shots around him that other guys would. And then the rebounding, sometimes he boxes out, and that's, like, you know, incredibly important, but he doesn't go after it after the box out either. So, and he's never really been a good rebounder at any of the level. Now, maybe you could say at Montverde, how many rebounds was he going to be able to get when he's got De'Ron Sharpe in his front court, right, and you got Cade? Right, so, right. I don't want to say, like, but he's never had, like, crazy rebound numbers. I've heard, like if you were going to play devil's advocate to what I just said, you might be like, well, he was guarding point guards and switching. But then I would say, well, Devin Vassell and Patrick Williams were doing the same kind of stuff, and they were able to get over one block each, too, in limited minutes. So it's not a deal breaker for me. I think Scottie's a great prospect. But I look at Jalen Suggs, and I'm like, I could see him doing the Tony Parker, the Chauncey Billups, and winning a finals MVP.
Yeah, yeah.
He has that ability to him. He's not going to have gaudy counting stats. He's not going to be a guy who throws up 25 points per game. But I know that my guy is not going to get scared in the NBA finals if he plays there. And I just, like you say, he's got that quarterback mentality where, like, he's not going to be concerned, like, oh, I need to go out and throw 7 touchdowns today. Like, if he needs to hand the ball off at the 1-yard line and not get credited for the touchdown, he's not going to care. He's just going to want to do the things that lead to winning. So I think that, like, I love Scottie. I love his size. His measurements are insane. 7'3" wingspan. Mm-hmm. I think that the hype train, especially because of the Giannis comps, Giannis is just a whole nother level of athlete. And sometimes you can't teach that. And, like, Scottie Barnes, he's not making that play in drop coverage where he comes out at the free throw line and then goes over and blocks you at the rim. Like, he is not that level of athlete. And there's a difference. And it's not a small difference. It's a monumental difference. So that's my concerns with him, because I think that I haven't heard one person say a bad thing about him or, like, anything outside of the jumper. And I think he has more weaknesses than we'd like to talk about because he is this infectious personality. But I have him up in that tier. I just think he's a little bit below some of these other guys.
No, but Corey, something that you, number one, when we did our Scottie Barnes episode a couple of months back, that was one of your big points, right? That he doesn't rebound. That's something that you brought up. And also the Giannis comps, whoever's saying that, that's blasphemous. They need to be scolded for that. Like, that's crazy to me that you're comparing him to Giannis. Like, I don't see that at all. Like, for me, my thing is, look, Corey, you know, I'm not big on hot takes, but this is something that I really believe in. Like, yesterday we did our mock draft and I took Isaiah Todd in the back in the first round, right? I look at a guy like Scott, like Isaiah Todd, and P, you mentioned the athleticism of a Scottie Barnes, and Corey, you went back and said, you know, like, he's a fluid athlete. He's not an explosive athlete by, you know, at all. And that's exactly how I see Isaiah Todd, which is why I'm so high on Isaiah Todd. And I wonder, like, so maybe you guys need to talk me into this and maybe kind of bring me back to planet Earth, because I'm looking at those two prospects and I understand why people love Scottie Barnes. Okay. I get it. I'm not some irrational idiot, right? I totally understand. We watch the tape, Corey and I, we like Scottie Barnes, but for me, the more I watch Isaiah Todd and you consider the context and the situation that he was in, right? If he had gone to Michigan like he was supposed to, playing under Juwan Howard, who knows what that would have turned into, right? Like, imagine him and Franz Wagner, what they could have done. I don't know, right? That could have been interesting. But my thing is, Isaiah Todd with his shooting, and, like, that stroke is freaking pure. Like, it's an absolutely beautiful jump shot. And the willingness and the aggressiveness that he had to put up shots in the limited minutes that he had in the G League, my thing is, like, I don't get why there's, like, a universe's gap between the two prospects. Like, I don't see that at all, because I really think Isaiah Todd is a very similar athlete to Scottie Barnes. I understand Scottie Barnes is a much, much better defender at this point. He is. Like, I have to give that to him. He's a really good playmaker. We talked ad nauseum about his playmaking. But for me, Isaiah Todd on the other end of the spectrum is, I think, is going to walk in and be, he could be a really, really good scorer. So I need you guys to talk to me about this, because I feel like that gap is not as large as people are talking about. And Pete, to go back to your question, at 4, I'm taking Suggs, because we saw Kyle Lowry in the 2019 NBA Finals. He made big play after big play in those series clinching games. And that's exactly how I see Jalen Suggs. And I think it's almost like the universe is like laughing at us and smiling at us right now and just saying, all right, Kyle Lowry's going to leave and go for another contender. We're just going to slip in Jalen Suggs here and we're going to develop another Kyle Lowry to do the same shit. So it's unbelievable. But anyway, guys, talk to me about Todd and Barnes, because maybe I'm the crazy one here.
Well, I think that that's a good segue into our sleepers, because Isaiah Todd is certainly Albert's sleeper. This is our sleeper, our penny stocks, the guys who are a little bit cheaper than a guy like Scotty Barnes. You might be able to get Isaiah Todd at the back end of the first round, maybe even the second round. So let's transition there. I think that with Scotty Barnes, what you get, we talk about outliers on this show a lot.
Right.
I see Scotty Barnes' talents as outlier talent, in that there's not a lot of guys his size that bring some of the skills that he brings. You know, in our episode, I talked about Scotty, you know, I just mentioned his weaknesses, but I also think when he's getting downhill to his right side, he's one of the best passers in the class. And right. I think I even said that he might be the best passer in the class when he's gotten to his right hand. Now, you know, there's two sides that you could dribble the ball to. So, you know, I'm not going to call him the best passer, but he sees things. He operates in a special way, and at his size, his defensive versatility, even though he doesn't block shots at the rate you might want him to, he's still going to be at minimum a guy who's able to guard 1 through 5 in spurts and probably 1 through 4 handling that those kind of guys all of the time at any spot you could put him on. Isaiah Todd, less of an outlier. Definitely a role. Definitely think he's been slept on. I just watched Bobby Portis play a big role in winning a championship with the Bucks, and I think that Isaiah Todd brings a lot of the same things. So I think that you're right to be high on Isaiah Todd, but I think when you're just looking at baseline floor,
sure,
outlier talents, can I go get this guy for cheap in free agency? It's much harder to get somebody with Scotty Barnes' talents than Isaiah Todd.
Got it. Okay.
I can't say it any better. I wish Isaiah Todd went to Michigan. I thought he was going to go to Michigan. One of my little bros that I grew up with, it was a point guard for Michigan, Mike Smith. So when I found out he was transferring to Michigan, Isaiah Todd was committed there. And I was like, wow, this is going to be a good team. They still were a good team, obviously. But, yeah, I really wish he would have went to Michigan. I like his game for the back end of the draft type pick. He's going to be a steal for sure. He's definitely going to be a steal. But yeah, I mean, Scotty Barnes just has the popularity from the platform, and then the upside. I just think that his upside is way crazier than Isaiah Todd. But what the NBA is looking for and how the game is played, Isaiah Todd will have a role on an NBA team for sure.
Yeah, it was smart of him. I mean, well, I don't know if it was smart of him, because I think he would have been, you know, a guy that you're talking about as a potential lotto pick if he went to Michigan with the recognition and whatnot. But I think as far as showing what he could be in the NBA, I actually like his decision to go to the Ignite, because he was able to step in, show a little bit of what he could do when he does have the ball in different areas of the court. But you were able to get like a baseline of like, all right, this guy's going to be able to knock down 3-point shots, and he's going to be able to at least, you know, guard defensively in an NBA scheme. So I think like you could see what his floor is going to be. It's easy to envision. But yeah, like Scotty's upside, I think, is just way higher, and that's why he's a blue chip and Todd's a penny stock.
I got a question before we dive into more sleepers and whatnot. A guy that I want to ask you guys about, because I don't have any recollect on him like I do with almost every other prospect. Deshaun Nix. I don't know what to think of Deshaun Nix. Can y'all tell me anything about Deshaun Nix? Or
wait, let me go first. Let me
go first. Go ahead, Albert.
Because my thing is, I'll be really quick and I'll let Corey take over. My thing with Deshaun Nix, and Corey and I, we talked about this a lot with Deshaun Nix. Like, the passing is there. Like, no one is going to take that away from him. No one's going to deny that. He's clearly a very talented, gifted passer. The question with him is really the Raymond Felton syndrome. Like, is he going to be able to ever keep the weight off? Like, that's the problem. Like, we look at Raymond Felton, and he is perpetually chubby. Like, no matter what he did in his career, as a former Knick fan, as a former Knick and me being a Knick fan, we went through it with Raymond Felton twice, you know, and we would hear about different diets he was trying. And then we would see him one off season and you just gave up on the diet and just, you know, I don't know where he was at, but, you know, his weight fluctuation was a real problem with his. And so right now in the pre-draft process, we're seeing pictures of Deshaun Nixon and he looks good. Right. He looks like he's fit, looks like he's lost 15, 20 pounds. But then, Corey, this is something that Corey talks about all the time. How many times do we see a prospect get fit before the draft and then he shows up for training camp and he looks different again? You know, and so my fear with Deshaun Nixon is number one. And also, I didn't even mention the shooting. I'll let Corey go into that because the shooting was a real question mark. Sorry, not even a question mark. It's like if you're doubting Scottie Barnes as a shooter, wait till you watch Deshaun Nixon and we'll have another conversation. But with Deshaun Nixon, my biggest thing is the Raymond Felton syndrome. Like, I just don't know if he'll ever be able to keep the weight off. And if you're worried about that from your point guard and a guy that you want to invest in as like your future, like 1A point guard, that's a huge problem for me.
Yeah, though obviously anytime weight comes up as a concern for a prospect, it's not like a great thing, especially from a couple of different positions. Like, you don't want your center to be overweight because then they can't move and recover, right? And you probably don't want your point guard. Yeah.
Yeah. Both of them.
They got good food in the Carolinas. But then you don't want your point guard to probably have those weight issues either, because how are they going to cover the point of attack defensively? But he obviously has some of the best vision in the class. He's able to make those passes that, like, from both sides that we've said, like, Scotty's an amazing passer going right. He's still a good passer going to his left, but he doesn't have necessarily all those live dribble, you know, just whip passes that Deshaun actually has. So for me, like, he's a good guy to, you know, invest in as a penny stock in the second round. I've seen him in a lot of mocks not even get drafted in the top 60. I think maybe that's going overboard. I would take a shot on him somewhere in the second. I think the jumper looks okay. It's definitely a work in progress. He didn't hit it in the games all that often or consistently. But, you know, he was a guy that, like, physically held up. And I think if you are going to take stuff from the G League, one of the things you look at, like, you are playing guys who are more physically developed. So for a guy like him, I do think that's important just to see, like, you know, you're probably going to be playing some guys who are a little bit quicker, a little bit stronger. So for him at the point guard spot, I think it was important. But he was up and down. I think it's all going to come down to, can he stay in shape? Can he be a passable shooter? But he's probably not going to be much more than a bench point guard. So, but if you can get that in the second round, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
You know, that's not terrible. You know, that's, there's value in that, especially if you know, he can just come in and run your offense and not kill you on the other end. P, give me two of your favorite sleepers.
Two, JT Thor. Mm-hmm. Okay, we talked about unicorn. Has all the DNA of a unicorn. Depending on how, where he goes and how he's developed, 6'10" shooter, pick and pop. But what I also like is that it's not just he shoots it a lot, but it's the ability to attack a closeout, finish. Defensively, he's there. Obviously, he's young, so you want him to bulk up. He's a little thin frame. But I think where he's going to be taken in a draft, you make it, like, he may be what Thon Maker was supposed to be, but you're also getting him way back later. So, like, Thon Maker was a lottery pick, if I'm not mistaken, right? He was like 10th or 11th or something like that. So, that makes it, you know, it puts a little bit more pressure on it, or, you know, if it doesn't succeed fast enough, people talk about it. But if you're going to get JT Thor, who has a little Thon Maker makeup, and you're getting him in the back end of the draft, where there won't be expectation from day one and he can develop low key, I think you can get something real good there. And then another guy that I just love, this Josh Primo is the real deal to me. Josh Primo is, man. I'm a big fan of Nate Oates and how they run their thing at Alabama, but Josh Primo has legitimate game to me. I love Josh Primo and his game. So can't wait to see where he goes, but those are definitely two of my favorite guys that are sleeping.
I like those choices. P, Petey Webb refers to guys like those two as pre-draft guys who you draft a year early. Like Primo's a guy that he came nice. Out and right now, like he's got a lot of hype. He's probably going to be a first rounder.
Yeah.
You know, but he is, it's not like he blew you out of the water. He averaged like 8 points, 3 rebounds, you know, didn't have like a, wasn't a focal point in an offense that had some veteran, you know, college players on the team. So you're getting him a year before. If he would have stayed in college, he's probably a lottery pick next year. So if you can get him at the back end of the first, or if he slips into the second, now you got an extra year to just develop a guy who might've been a lottery pick if he came out. And his size, 6'5", 6'6", he's got a 6'10" wingspan. Like he's already got the body. And once, and he's, you saw all the flashes of the skills, the off the bounce stuff, the catch and shoot, the ability to penetrate, the ability to guard. And at his size, he's going to be able, especially with his wingspan, he could probably guard 1 through 3 in today's NBA.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those small forwards who aren't really the natural small forwards, because most small, old school small forwards are now power forwards. And then Thor, I like the he could be what Don is supposed to be. That's, I like that, because I think like upside wise, if he maxes out, and I think most guys don't max out their potential. I think, you know, I like to look at their median outcome. But I could definitely see a scenario where if he went to a good development program where we look back and realize like he could turn into kind of a Pascal Siakam kind of player.
Yeah.
And so he's another guy that you can invest a second round pick in, and he could really outperform that. So those are, and he's been a popular guy on draft Twitter and for good reason. Right. I mean, if you watch Auburn, you know, when I watch Auburn, I'm scouting Sharif Cooper.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. But I like to, and when I'm scouting, I focus as much as I can on that singular prospect. I'm watching where they are on the weak side of the court, all that kind of stuff. But I love when I'm watching a particular prospect and somebody else pops.
Yep.
And JT Thor was the only other guy on that Auburn team, which was not a fun team to watch, but he was the only other guy that would do stuff that you go, oh, wow. That was interesting. So I like JT Thor, and I like the upside that he brings.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
These are two sleepers. Well, now they're not really even sleepers. So I've seen De'Ron Sharpe get mocked to a lot of like late first round teams. But I wanted to ask you guys, can I get some perspective from you guys in terms of what really separates? So we have some bigs in this draft that are getting mocked all over the place. End of the first round, early second, late second. A guy that comes up a lot that I'm really into, and he put up some big numbers this year in college, is Charles Bassey. And I'm trying to understand, if you guys can help me, what's the big gap between like a De'Ron Sharpe and a Charles Bassey? Because I'm seeing a lot of De'Ron Sharpe end of first round, you know, and Charles Bassey end of the second round, mid second round. But I really liked Bassey, so just wanted to get some perspective from you guys on those two.
First thing has to be the age, right?
Yeah,
that has to be one of them. I think there's also like this small little window of De'Ron Sharpe shooting the ball. There's just this, I'm not saying he's going to do it. I don't want anybody to you know, misquote me or. You know, but like that, there's that little thing. De'Ron Sharpe, I watched his film and he has parts of it where it's like, I'm like, man, this dude is legit. And then there's other parts where it's like, turn the show off. Like, I can't even finish watching it. It's so uninspiring at times. But I think depending on where you're at, Charles Bassey could come in and help you right away with something. Right. So, but I mean, yeah, it would just have to be the fact that De'Ron Sharpe he's a teenager.
Right.
And, you know, you could probably, like Corey was just talking about, get him a little early and develop him into more of something. But I do like Charles Bassey. I heard the Knicks were linked to him. I think we went out or something. So,
yeah,
I like him.
He's another Carolina guy that lost a little bit of pre-draft weight. I the other thing is, too, like De'Ron Sharpe's a really good passer at his size.
Yes.
You know, and like if you're going to be one of these kind of more traditional big men, you really got to be able to pass the ball. And, you know, you talked about there might be the flashes of the shooting. So if you could pass and shoot at that size, now you just got to figure out, well, can we keep him on the floor? Are his feet going to be fast enough to be able to guard in different kind of coverages? But I think that, like, one of the things with him, like, he also has the pedigree. Montverde played with Scotty and Moses Moody and Cade in one of the best high school teams of all time, maybe the best high school team of all time. So it's pedigree, and all those flashes. And I think that's why he also, you know, he played at Carolina versus Western Kentucky, right? So it's, you know, the competition. I think it's all those kind of factors, and especially the age, freshman versus junior.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. I just felt like when I watched Bassey, I was like, man, as you mentioned, P, it feels like a guy who can just walk in and help somebody right away. You know, average 3 blocks a game in college. That's not like something to just, you know, scoff at. But yeah, no, I get it. I feel like the bigs in this draft are going to be really, really interesting. You know, like, we talk a lot about Isaiah Jackson and where Isaiah Jackson ends up. And then there's that guy from Utah. I'm forgetting his name right now. I think it was like Nemeas, right? Something like that. But
Nemeas Kata.
Yeah. So I think, like, this draft, once again, speaks to the absolute depth of this draft, where some teams are going to end up with some really solid backup centers. And look, you guys were talking about Giannis before and what's it called? What was his name? Giannis and Scottie Barnes, right? Like, we look at the last two NBA finals. I think Jonathan Charks from The Ringer was talking about this, and that's why he was praising Evan Mobley so much. He was like, you look at the last two NBA finals, they're kind of decided by big men. You know, AD the year before, this year by Giannis. You know, these guys are really, really important. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how the bigs get rated and where they get drafted and all that stuff. So, yeah, man, just a strong draft overall. And I think it's interesting. It's going to be, I mean, when this pod comes out, it's draft day. So we're right there. We're knocking at the door, and it's a freaking exciting time.
Yeah, I love it. I'm also happy that when we talk sleepers on here, everybody mentioned people that were actually sleepers. Like, I'm so tired. Like, don't tell me Trey Murphy is your sleeper when he's moving up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, certain guys aren't sleepers anymore if they're everybody's sleeper. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
My sleeper is Bones Highland. Well, he's everybody's sleeper, so he's no longer a sleeper. You know?
Yeah. For sure. I want to talk about, and he's not a sleeper on draft Twitter, but he probably is a sleeper in the overall ether. I think he's mocked still in the second round a lot of times. And I actually want to bring him up because I think that he's a guy that I would like to see in New York at pick 32. I'd actually like to see him in Chicago at 38, but let's, you know, I got two Knicks fans on the show.
I'm so curious as who this is going to be now.
Because I feel like he's a Tibbs guy. It's Miles McBride.
Yes.
You know, everybody on draft, I don't quite like him the way draft Twitter does, but I do like him. He's a guy that, like, I don't know, he's got New York written on him, like, feisty, small point guard. I mention it a lot when I talk about, like, Tibbs and the type of guards he likes and has success with, and you could add quickly to that list. It's these small guys who can kind of get their own shot, have length, are quick. You know, I mean, John Lucas III, DJ Augustine, Nate Robinson. I mean, obviously, you know, Derrick Rose, the outlier, but, like, he just has, like, this kind of guard that he's able to get the most out of. And I feel like McBride could really fit into that mold. P, if at 32, Miles McBride to the Knicks, are you happy or what?
I'm happy because, first and foremost, I got a shout out to D Mills from my podcast, Through the Wire podcast. He said that yesterday, like, P, you know, Miles McBride, I love him. He seems like a Thibs type of guy. Yeah. So shout out to D Mills. He literally said that yesterday. Secondly, I'm so against the Knicks using 19 or 21 on a guard because there's so many guards that could be available at 32. So this helps that case. Third, he's a West Virginia alumni. We're big West Virginia fans here because my cousin Javon Carter went to West Virginia. So he's cut from that cloth. And he's just exactly what you said. He fits that mold. He can guard. I like his jump shot. He has his jump shot reminds me of how he gets it off and how it looks a little bit like Oladipo. It's just like real smooth. And yeah, I haven't thought about getting him at 32 because I just don't think he would be there. But I like him with the Knicks. I like him a lot. He's very simple. He's very simple. There's not much to really dive into because he's going to guard. He can play off the ball, on the ball. Trying to think of things that I maybe didn't like from him. Maybe he took a lot of settle mid-range shots, I guess. Yeah. But I would expect that if he's playing with the Knicks and on the Thibs, he won't have those type of opportunities. And I don't know if he's going to shoot it as good as like a Quickly. Maybe, but yeah, he has a pedigree to him of, he was actually a better number one option for them than I would have expected this past year. I won't lie, like I've seen Miles McBride on that team for a while, and I always just thought of him as defensive first guard, but he actually, yeah. I won't lie, over the years he's brought his offensive side to the defense a little bit.
I think the easiest way for us to look at this and understand why Miles McBride would be awesome for the Knicks, he's going to walk in, if we draft him at 32, he's going to walk in and already be better than Elfrid Payton was for us last year. I really do believe that, just because Miles McBride is a terrifying defensive player.
Yes.
Like, dude, the stuff that he was doing, I think it was Mavs Draft posted like a short video clip this morning about Miles McBride just locking up Cade Cunningham. Mm-hmm. Now, once again, please don't listen to this and say that we're sliding Cade Cunningham. Yeah. Cade Cunningham is the bona fide number one player in this draft. And that just speaks to the unbelievable defensive ability of a Miles McBride. He was a great, great defender. And if anything, yesterday in our mock draft, Corey, I was even thinking about him at 21. I was like, man, like, is he going to be there at 32 for me to get him? And he's that good of a player, I think, on both sides of the ball. Now, offensively, obviously, is not his strength compared to his defense. But as P mentioned, he showed flashes. And so if he's there at 32, now here's the interesting thing, though. Like, if the Knicks end up taking, like, let's say Trey Murphy's there at 19, like he was in our mock draft, and then we end up with, like, I don't know, Isaiah Jackson or Jared Butler at 21, then things get interesting, right? And P, I know you said you're kind of against us taking a guard at 19 or 21, but, like, if Jared Butler's there at 21, I think he's hard to pass. Like, I'm absolutely in love with Jared Butler. And he's a guy that I think Tibbs would be in love with because of the two-way potential, you know, like, goddamn, him as a defender and a shooter and a on-the-ball guy, I think he can average 8-9 assists a game in the league. And I know a lot of people don't see it that way, but I do. Butler? Yeah, Jared Butler. Yeah, no, I'm serious. Like, I think he shared that backcourt with Davion and the white dude with the mullet. Like, you know, a lot of the playmaking was divvied up amongst the three of them. And I think you put Jared Butler as your lead guard in the NBA, I think he could do a lot more. So I did want to throw that in there as a fellow Knicks fan. Like, if Jared Butler's there at 21 and we take him there, dude, we should be excited. Like, he is so damn good.
I'm not mad at that at all if we take him. I just know that when Thibs, and it could just be bullshit, smoke screen or whatever, he talked a lot about wings that could shoot when they interviewed him. So as a Knicks fan, I just didn't want to get my hopes up because I like a lot of these guards. I like Trey Mann. I mean, he's defensively, he's not these guys, but I mean, the shot creation, the range and everything, I wouldn't mind him either at 6'5". Jared Butler, what I like about Jared Butler is I think we kind of, if he did the 8 or 9 assists, would be a surprise to me. But I think I know what I'm getting with him. And I think I can count on Jared Butler. That's the type of player. I like skilled players. I think it's fun with upside. Like, I like Greg Brown's too, you know, with some upside and some potential.
Oh, wow.
He popped. He popped on the screen. He had holy shit moments.
Yeah, he did. So I get why people are interested in that. But if I am a GM, I'm always taking skill over upside for the most part. I'm at, what's the fourth pick that the Knicks have? Is it like 56?
58.
Mm-hmm. Great guy. I want to be around there. But if I had like a, you know, a 40th pick and Greg Brown was still around, I have no choice but to take it. But for the most part, so give me skill. When I look at Trey Murphy, I need him. Chris Darvish, I need him.
Yeah.
Jared Butler, I need him. Mm-hmm. Who else are we talking about? Deuce McBride, I need him. Just give me skill versus like 40-inch vertical. And if we get his offense to catch up to his athleticism or his defense, he's going to be scary. No, give me pass, dribble, shoot. And even if you can't one-on-one lock a man down, if you know where the hell to be, I'll take that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I like skill.
Don't give us Tyrus Thomas.
Yeah, like
one of my all-time most disappointing basketball moments, because that year LaMarcus Aldridge was my guy.
Me too. He was a
that was my guy.
So good.
I watched him and I was like, this dude, there's no way he isn't a fucking all-star. Like, lock it in. It's apparent. And then that run that Tyrus Thomas went on. And you know what's crazy? Like, advanced stats weren't even that big a deal back in the day. But, like, Tyrus Thomas might go over Aldridge in today's league, too, because his advanced stats were bonkers. True shooting percentage, block percentage, steal percentage. Crazy to go with the athleticism. And when I heard LaMarcus Aldridge's name called at 2 to the Chicago Bulls, I literally was like, I was about to pop a bottle. And then 10 seconds later, I don't know who it was at the time. It might have been like Mark Stein or one of those guys that ESPN had. They were like, and the Chicago Bulls will be trading the number 2 pick for the 4 pick and Victor Criapa. And I was like, I was so bummed out. It was one of my most disappointing.
I was bummed out too. I'm obviously a Knicks fan, but you know, I live in Chicago, and like you said, LaMarcus Aldridge in college was like, he's a damn near a Hall of Fame NBA player as well.
Yeah.
But in college, oh my gosh, I love LaMarcus Aldridge. That was my guy. I asked my dad for a LaMarcus Aldridge Texas jersey, and my dad was like, we don't buy big man jerseys. So when he got traded, I was like, what the fuck? And Tyrus Thomas, he did have that run with LSU, obviously. But yeah, that was crazy. I remember that one.
Yeah. That was
who went number one that year?
Bargnani.
That was a Bargnani year. Bargnani. That's right.
Yeah, it was Bargnani. Everybody was looking for the next Dirk.
Dirk, yep.
Everybody's looking for the next Dirk.
I was in third grade, and me and my friends was like, yeah, he's a Dirk 2.0. Like, we believed that he was a Dirk
2.0. Shouts to Chad Ford on that one.
Oh, yeah. Man. All right. I want to switch up where we just had, you know, over an hour's worth of draft talk. Before we get you out of here, I want to talk to you about your project with Gold Hayes.
Yeah.
Tell me about how'd that come about? You can rap.
I appreciate that. You know, I outside of the Through the Wire and the Bleacher Report, House of Highlights stuff, I got my own little thing in Chicago where it's like a collective. It's called Rich Vision, which is what the light represents in the background. And I started it because when I came out of high school, after I realized I wasn't going to the NBA, I started doing music with one of my best friends, who is now a rapper, Flex. And he started to bubble up on his own. And I was like, you know what? I don't take rap that serious. It's not that thing for me. So I'm going to help you. Like, we'll just start this thing up together. And I named it Rich Vision. It just came to my mind. And we started operating like that. And then over the years, Gold Hayes is a producer. They linked up and our team started to grow until we had this establishment as Rich Visioners Collective. And it's two things that I know in this world. It's sports and it's music. So even Corey, when I saw that you was managing that band those years ago, I was like, oh, me and Corey have similarities there. We both like sports and the music thing. I'm an inner city Chicago kid. So, I came up in the hood, and that was the two ways, basketball and music. So I was always attached to those things, and I would do it for fun. And because we have this thing, there's resources that when I get the inspiration or the move to rap, I can do it. You know what? We have an engineer. We have a studio. We have producers. I have music friends. So if I get in that zone to do it, and I'll do it. And Go Hayes did a real good job. Since he's a producer and a rapper, he kind of laid and structured everything out for me. So all I had to do was come and rap. You know, like, to me, rapping is easy. The hard part is to consistently sit there and try to create songs and a hook and a bridge. And now that part, I don't have time to juggle the Through the Wire, Bleacher Report, House of Highlights stuff, draft stuff where I have to watch and formulate my own comparisons and weaknesses and strengths. I don't have the time to sit up there and construct a song. So I never call myself like a musician or rapper. But if I'm bored and I have extra time and somebody like Gold Haze can basically curate the whole thing and I just step in the booth and rap, I'll do it. But that's how it came out. Me and Hayes talked about doing some stuff. We did some stuff and we kind of left it alone. Then we revisited it and we did it in like 2 days and it came out. And, you know, we've been shooting some music videos for it. And, you know, the fans from the podcast and everything, they support it. So, you know, whenever something can become lucrative, I put my business hat on and you know, now I might drop more shit because it's like, oh, y'all listening like that. When I look at the analytics and people are actually listening and supporting and sharing, and it makes me like, okay, that's how I am. Like, I just live my life where if I'm interested in something, I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I would write a book one day. Like I said yesterday in a space, it's like, I want to write a book called The Art of Shit Talking. I'm just an unbelievable shit talker. So I just want to teach people how to talk shit. So like, if I like something, I'm going to do it. I would act like I would be in a movie if it presented itself.
That's a book idea. That one, that sounds good.
Yeah. You know, so like, yeah, I think if people were in a Barnes and Noble, if you were in Target and you walk past the books and you saw The Art of Shit Talking,
yeah, think
a lot of people would, you know, be intrigued by that.
You gotta trademark that one quick before one of our listeners grabs that one, you know?
Right.
Scoop the website up. Yeah, that's a good point though about like rapping's easy, but the songwriting, the structure of that, because how many freestyle rappers or mixtape rappers, right, that you get them on these tapes, and especially like growing up in New York in the early 2000s, like I feel like that's when the mixtape scene was like crazy, like Clue, Envy, DJ Lantern. You had all these mixtapes coming out every single week. There was a new mixtape with freestyles from all these guys. And you very rarely would see 3/4 of those names actually have more than maybe a single come out. Because there's a difference in just like getting on a beat and rapping and then writing a hook and writing a song and the production element. I mean, even, you know, look at like Cannabis, you know, going back to the 90s, like this is a guy who Cannabis could rap with anybody.
Yeah.
But like writing a song, there's an art to it.
Yeah.
But I think that you guys on this, this album, you guys did a great job of merging the two and I encourage anybody listening to this podcast to go to Spotify, Apple Music, and definitely give the project a listen, because you're going to enjoy it. I know that. P can spit. And you got the Through the Wire guys. You guys rap a little bit on.
Yeah. It was, like I said, man, business sense. The internet can be very corny, can be very lame, especially around this time. You guys know, like I said, I listened to the draft. I can't pronounce it. The draft's deck, NASDAQ. Draft deck. Okay. I listened to it and you guys definitely put in the work, put in the time. So around this time, what you'll see is you guys, and you know, it's not a big deal, but it can be aggravating where you have real guys who sit up there and they watch, they put in the hours, and then all of a sudden draft comes around and everybody puts in all the time. Everybody's an expert.
Yeah.
And college season is going on, and I ask people, did they see Baylor versus Kansas? Nobody watched, but the draft comes around and now everybody's an expert. And it's like, oh, that. So those are parts of the internet where it's just, I can't take it. But, you know, you have, you know, opportunities to create a platform where you talked about the showing your ass stuff that I say when players are going off. I turned that into selling shirts. We have the podcast, the music. Why not take the podcast and make a song and make a YouTube video and put the song on Spotify? Let's do an EP. And it just becomes lucrative. So I just think that, you know, if you have supportive people, that will support you and they like you, sell anything to them, that's you. As long as it's authentic to you, don't look for trying to make money. But if you can sell yourself or a part of yourself and what you do, and people will buy it, man, turn it into a business. So yeah, and that's what I like about this generation as far as music is what you said, like rapping on beats for 6 minutes and just being, you know, bar heavy. It doesn't work in this generation. Like this generation wants music, and I think a lot of guys from that era you mentioned, it's actually cool to see them have growth. Like Lloyd Banks just released a project not too long ago, and he's had song structure on there, and it's like Lloyd Banks like melodically singing a hook. Like in 2003, he was just going to go on a Clue tape and give me 50 bars, you know, Fab.
That's all I wanted from Lloyd Banks in 2003.
Yeah. But he say shit get uglier than a masterpiece sneaker. Like, yeah, Lloyd Banks and Joel Santana, Fab, like those guys. Mm-hmm. That's what got me into rap. So it's good to see them still being here in 2020 plus, you know, and they're still making music. But yeah, man, I'm just about having fun. If I'm interested in it, I'll try it. If I'm not good at it, then I'll just go back to being a fan. But why not try? Like, I'm just one of those people who I'll put myself out there. You know, even here, I don't think that I'm as good as y'all with this draft shit. But I'll come in here and give it a shot. And if I say something foolish, which luckily today I didn't.
Not at all.
I'll wear it because it's all about learning. You know what I mean? And I'm a student. So I'm just about learning from people that I respect, and I definitely respect y'all. I appreciate y'all having me. I appreciate the shout out for the music part. I was not expecting that for anybody's watching. I thought we was just doing draft talk. And yeah, man, another shout out, you know,
yes,
let's go.
Legendary, legendary. So yeah.
That's right. That's the magazine, the Hardwood magazine. I had the pleasure of interviewing not only P, but the rest of the Through the Wire podcast. And, you know, we've touched on a few different things. You touched on it in the music. It's about being authentic, you know, and you mentioned it even with the draft guys. Everybody's coming out of the woodwork. That's not what they specialize in. You know, it's hard to focus on a bunch of different things and then put the work in that's necessary for the draft. But, you know, we don't have people on this show that don't know what they're talking about. We're not trying to have people just talk crazy on here. So we only got guys who know what's going on. P, you do. If you want to, you know, learn a little bit more about the podcast from the guys, we still have copies of the Hardwood magazine, the issue 2, available. You can find that on, you know, on my Twitter link or so definitely get that because it's worthwhile. Because if you're trying to be a content creator, the Through the Wire guys are a great example of, you know, being authentic and how that can lead to success. Because I don't care if it's, you know, basketball content or, you know, cooking, you can find a way to give yourself the opportunity to be creative in a space as long as you're being authentic and following your own path. So definitely check all of the stuff that they do out. Check P's stuff out. P, where can they find you on the internet?
Pee Wee the Plug on every single thing. Pee Wee the Plug. If you just type in those words, it should not be anybody but me popping up on anything. You know? Hopefully not. Yeah, Pee Wee the Plug. You can catch me on House of Highlights, Bleacher Report, my show with Drewski. And then in the mid-season, we changed it to Famous Lows. We're not going on right now because there's no NBA season. But hopefully we get renewed for season 2. Next season. And then, yeah, the podcast is Tuesday and Saturdays. But other than that, yeah, I'm just a dude that's around social media. I'm never too big or too out of there to not talk to anybody. If you're trying to talk basketball and you know what you're talking about, we can definitely dialogue. So, yeah, like I said, I appreciate you guys having me talk about authenticity and originality. Y'all are with this, it's just draft that, like, that is so genius. I cannot say that enough. I wish I came up with that shit. Like, I love twisting things and making into, yeah, that is so dope.
Appreciate that.
And even the presentation, you know what I mean? Like I told you, Corey, when we talked, like the thumbnails, the cartoon of the players and the superhero comic book thing, like that shit is so dope, bro. That shit is so dope. So I appreciate you guys having me on. Close to the draft. This is a privilege, and Can't wait to see what the Knicks get.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Look, you know, we're good draft evaluators. I don't know if I'm the best, but I'm definitely the most fucking creative.
Y'all,
I'm going to show my ass there. I'm the most creative motherfucker on the internet.
If y'all are up there, when people ask me, P, I want more insight. How do you? Y'all are the guys that I name. It's y'all, Hoop Intellect, Draft Junkie.
Shout out DeAndre. Shout out Raph.
Who else would I? And then it's a new guy I started watching like this year. Adam Spinelli?
Yeah.
Adam Spinelli. Yep. Coach. Yeah. Like Coach Spin. Yep,
Coach Ben, I like that.
Shout out, everybody. Shout out, Mavs Draft. There's a lot of good guys out there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Who did y'all say? Mavs Draft? Is that somebody?
Yeah. Mavs Draft. Yep.
He's okay. Awesome. He's awesome.
Tyler Metcalf, backcourt violation. There's a lot of really good draft content out there.
Draft Deeper. Space.
And Draft Deeper, yes. Shout out to Nathan. Shout out to the OG. Shout out my guy, Mike Schmitz. I mean, there's so much good draft content out there and people to watch. It's the thing is, everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's covering something. There's enough room for everybody to come in and get their shine. So, shout out to everybody in the space.
Mm-hmm. Corey's definitely the most creative. If I had to give myself a title, I'm the most Korean. I'm the most Asian one out here.
Definitely.
But hey, I did want to say I appreciate you coming on. This is actually my first time ever speaking to you. So this was an honor for me. I really appreciate it. I did want to say for our listeners, make sure you're on the lookout for the future number one New York Times bestselling book, The Art of Shit Talk. Make sure you guys get your copy when that drops because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and, now that you get that though, Albert, I have one request from you.
Yes, sir.
I need a follow back. I've been following you on Twitter.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. No. I'm one of those guys.
Don't do my guy like that.
I'm embarrassed right now. I can't believe that.
Albert, you get to the following. For anybody who's going to the draft, if you see us, we'll be there live in Brooklyn today, Thursday, the 29th. So come say what's up. And I'd love to meet everybody. And it's going to be a fun one. The draft is going to be crazy. It's going to be pure chaos. Thank you for listening to the Draft Act NBA Draft Podcast. And this will not be the final episode. We will come back and talk about the results of the draft. So tune in because it's going to be fun. Until that time, guys, we out. Peace.
Peace.